Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to look at the temptation that led to the fall of mankind. This is where the fall began. And what I love about this passage on temptation, it shows us that sin cannot be blamed on our environment. You ever hear people say, oh, it's the environment, it's the neighborhood I live in, you know. It can't be blamed on our environment, nor is it handed down by our parents. Well, I do this because Dad did it. No. I do this because I choose to do it. You know, it's amazing to me. The very thing I hated in my dad. I hated the way he treated Mom. I hated the way he yelled at her and threw her around. And the vicious things he said to her. I hated Dad for that. And man, when I was growing up, I said, I ain't never going to be like that. How many of you know I became like that? The exact thing I hated, I became before I got saved. It's not handed down from our parents. You know why I know this? Because the conditions here in the garden were perfect. They were perfect. Adam and Eve chose. It's a choice. Look at verse 1. It says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God. You'll know good and evil. So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. And she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Unfortunately, most people don't really believe the devil exists. And if they do believe he exists, they don't take him seriously. And that amazes me, because even though we don't know much about when Satan was created, we do know that Satan is real. And you know what? We also know that he's our enemy. And we know that he can be extremely dangerous for us. You can't mess around with Satan. He's more powerful than we are. You know, it blows me away when people are praying and they go, I rebuke you, Satan. You know, I step back and I go, are you Jesus? You know, it amazes me. In a couple months, we'll get to the book of Jude. Michael, the archangel, who's known as the warrior angel in heaven. Not even Michael brought an accusation against Satan, but said what? The Lord rebuke you. Michael knew the power was in the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're going to do any rebuking, you do it in the name of Jesus Christ. He's the only one that has the power and the authority. We don't have that kind of power. Satan is too strong for us. We can't be doing that. Peter said in a very familiar passage, which most of us know, in 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9, he said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Peter said, be sober. That word sober, translated from the Greek in the original to our English, it means having an alert mind. It means not having drugs or alcohol or anything else in your mind that could keep the Holy Spirit from ministering to you. Be sober. Be vigilant. Make a stand, man. Fight for that stand for righteousness is what he's saying. He says in verse 9 there, 1 Peter 5, resist him. How do you resist Satan? Steadfast in the faith. You stand fast on the Word of God. He says, knowing that the same sufferings, whatever you're dealing with tonight, Peter says the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. How many times do we feel like we're the only ones going through it? You ever feel that way? It's like, God, why am I going through this? I do this, I do that, I'm trying to do everything you want me to do, God, and I'm still going through this. Peter says, man, the whole family's going through this. Everybody in the world. The Christians, even the non-believers, are going through it. The only difference is we're Christians and we got the Holy Spirit to help us to endure, to be able to hang on. You see, tonight we need to understand that God is not the author of sin. He's not the author of sin. Neither does he tempt people to sin. It's a work of the devil. It's Satan as he tries to deceive us. Remember, we studied this in James. In James chapter 1, verses 12 to 15, it says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation." You know what that word blessed is? In its translation, we see this in the Beatitudes, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew's chapters 5 through 7. That word blessed is, oh, how happy. In other words, oh, how happy is the man who endures temptation. You know, you're being tempted, man, to go do this. It says, for when he has been approved, when he says, no, man, I'm not going to do that. I'm not giving into that. It says, when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. I won't do it because I love Jesus. I want the crown of life. I want to go to heaven. I want to live for eternity. I don't want to give in to that. And yet my flesh is saying, yeah, go for it, man. Oh, it'll be fun, man. It's exciting. And oh, it's pleasurable. Go for it. That's the fight that we have, the flesh and the spirit. You know, it's like Jesus said, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak and it gives in. He says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. You ever hear Christians say that? Man, God sure was tempting me today. I said, what? God was tempting you today? I'll take them right here. It says, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Okay, so how is someone tempted? Here it is. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. His own desires. Yeah, man, I kind of want to do that. And you're enticed. Yeah, hey, it's cool. It says, then when desire has conceived, when you've done it, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. That word death is speaking of physical and spiritual. Physical death, dying here, and spiritual death, being condemned to the lake of fire. I mean, it's a radical thing. You see, originally, Satan was a beautiful angel. Job chapter 38, verses 4 to 7 says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? Listen to this. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Satan was among the angels, the sons of God. When God was creating, Satan was among the angels going, yeah, right on, Lord. Yes. You know, seeing the world and everything that was formed in it. They shouted for joy. Satan rejoiced at God's work. But here's the situation. When he sinned, God had to judge him. We read in Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 17. It tells us that Satan became prideful and he sinned. Five times. He said, I will do this. I will sit on the congregation on the farthest side of the north, speaking of a place of authority. And then fifthly, the fifth time he pulls out all the stops. He says, I will be like the Most High God. God goes, oh, really? Boot, scoot, salute, man. Kicked him out of heaven. Ezekiel 28, verses 11, 19 tells us that he was created. And then when he sinned, that God kicked him out of heaven. You know how powerful Satan is? Revelation says that he took one third of all the angels with him. That's how smart Satan is. So you don't think he can get to us? We ain't nothing against him. Man, we're like a macaroni in a wet paper bag. You know, he's shaking it. That's us. You know, he can deceive us. Look how long he's been around. Who knows when he was created? He's powerful, man. Here in Genesis chapter 3, notice that Satan comes to Eve disguised as a serpent. Disguised as a serpent. That's interesting because right away, The Lord took me where Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14, 15. Listen to this. And no wonder, Paul says, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, the demons, also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Transforms himself. Be careful when you think you see, or somebody's telling you they saw an angel, or you think you're seeing an angel. It could be a demon transforming himself into an angel. We need to be careful, man. We need to make a stand here. What amazes me is here in chapter 3, Satan comes as a deceiver. But man, when we get to chapter 4, he comes as a liar that murders. Jesus said in John 8:44, I mean the Jews, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the scribes, they were coming down on the Lord. And the Lord just pulled it out, man. He said, that's it. That's it. And he told him, listen to what he said to him. He said, you are of your father, the devil. Man, if I was a disciple of Jesus, I would have went, oops, Lord, these are the religious leaders, Jesus. Be careful here. Listen to what Jesus said. You are of the father of the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Man, it should be a warning to us that we need to continually be aware of Satan's deceptive ways and of his tactics. We can't let our guard down. If we let our guard down, Satan's going to get the victory. Man, we start going through the head trips. We start being enticed. We start being tempted. And the thing is, if we don't make a stand, we end up giving in to it. And then when we give in to it, we've got to pay the consequences sometimes for the rest of our lives. Just for one stupid thing. You see, here Satan came in and he aimed right at Eve's mind. He aimed right at her mind and he succeeded in deceiving her. Man, that's why Paul, you know what? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look what Paul says. I mean, I love this. Paul said, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. What's he talking about? He's talking about the Christians, the brothers and the sisters. Here he'd been teaching them. He's discipling them. He's training them. He's telling them how they need to conduct themselves so that they don't get ripped off in their lives. He said, man, I'm jealous for you. Hey, if somebody says something about you, man, I'm on it. I got your back, Paul's saying here. He says, I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. I'm teaching you. You've gotten saved. You've given your life to Christ. You're his. He goes, but I fear. Here's where Paul was concerned. I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, pointing right here to Genesis 3, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. He said, just the simple gospel. It's so simple. A kid, a little child can understand it. He said, you're the ones that make it big and make it that you can understand it. It's easy. It's simple. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you just might well put up with it. You just might put up with it, man, and run with it. Paul warned the church in Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9. He said, even if we are an angel from heaven, does that ring any bells? Even if we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you, then what we have preached to you, Paul said, let them be accursed. You think Paul meant business? The next verse, as we have said before, Paul says, I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. That word accursed from the original Greek translation to our New Testament English means let him be damned to the lowest hell. the lowest hell, where the greatest amount of fire and torment and lava is. He said, if someone preaches another gospel to you, let him be damned to the lowest pit of hell. That's heavy. That's heavy, man. That's why Paul instructed Timothy in 1 Timothy 2, verses 12 to 15. He was speaking of the headship of man. It goes all the way back to Genesis 3. We know that 1, 2 Timothy and Titus are the pastoral epistles. That's why Paul said there in 1 Timothy 2, verse 12, and I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. Now, why is he saying this? For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. Paul says that's why I don't allow a woman to teach a man, you know, or to have authority over a man, because it was the woman who was deceived. Now, the thing that boggles my mind, and I want to talk to the Lord about this, and maybe I'm just not getting it, but just thinking about it, which one's worse? You being deceived and being tricked in doing something, or just full on knowing it and doing it? You know, to me, Eve was deceived, but Adam just willfully went for it and fell into transgression. I don't know. It's one thing being tricked. It's another thing just going for it and doing it when you know it's full-blown wrong, right? So I don't know. I'll have to talk to God. Well, I'll probably know. Bible says we'll have his mind and we'll be known as he is known. So we'll know when the rapture happens and we get that new glorified body. But, I guess I can understand Paul's point here, because Eve gave in to the deception. You see, man's mind is a part of his being created in God's image. So Satan actually attacks God when he attacks our minds. Think of that. That's heavy stuff, man. We're created in God's image. When Satan comes against our minds, he's coming against God, because we're created in his image. Paul wrote in Colossians 3, verses 8 to 10, he says, but now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and you've put on the new man, notice, who is renewed in knowledge. Knowledge of what? God's word. According to the image of him. You see, as long as the mind holds to God's truth, as long as you hold on to God's word and you don't give in, there's no way Satan can win. No way. But man, once you start doubting in your mind God's word, then it opens a door for the devil to come in and lie to you. Once we start doubting it, notice here, Satan questioned God's word in verse 1. Man, did he really? Is that what God said? He questioned it. In verse 4, he denied God's word. And then in verse 5, he substituted his own lies. It's radical. He questioned it, which led him to denying it, and then substituting what he wanted to do. Is that incredible? Here Satan tries to undermine our faith in the goodness of God, as he suggests to Eve, hey Eve, God's holding out on you, man. God is holding out on you. He's trying to keep you from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. How many times has Satan come to you and say, God's holding out on you, man. You deserve more. You got more coming. He's holding back on you. You see, the problem comes when we begin to question God's goodness. And when we begin to doubt God's love for us. How many times have I said, God, you don't love me, do you? Here I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm trying my best, God. And I'm still going through the stuff, man. How many times have we, doubted that God loves us? You know what happens when we're doing that? When we question his goodness and doubt his love for us, church, I'm telling you something, we're playing right into the hands of Satan, man. We're playing right into his hands. First, Satan denied God's word. And then he puts in his own lie. Romans 1, verses 18 to 32 tells us how the Gentiles from the time of Cain. Cain is represented as the Gentiles. They rejected the truth of God and they turned to foolishness and lies. Romans 1, 25 says, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Notice this here. They exchanged the truth of God for the lie. And they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. You see, in total defiance of God, total defiance, mankind exchanged God's truth for the lie. And they followed Satan, whom Jesus said is a liar and a murderer. That's what the world's doing today. Now, what is this lie that has ruled people since the fall of man? What's this lie? What's he talking about here? It's the belief that men and women can be their own God. That they can live for the creation and not the Creator, and that they'll not have to pay any consequences for it. I can live the way I want to live, and I'm not going to have to suffer any consequences. That's the lie. I can do whatever I want to do. I'm my own man. I'm my own boss. That's the lie. By believing this, they refuse to submit to God's truth, but they'd rather believe Satan's lies and follow his evil plans right onto their own destruction. You know what? People today don't realize that Satan is their Lord. You've got one of two lords. Either you're serving Jesus or you're serving Satan. There's no middle of the road. I mean, I always thought, hey, you know what, man? I got things to do, places to go, people to see. I got my own thing going on, you know? And when that preacher on TV that night I got saved said, hey, you know what, Dad? If you're not living for Jesus, you're living for Satan, and he's taking you straight to hell. I was sober in a heartbeat. I didn't feel the effects of the cocaine, the alcohol from the bar, nothing. I was dead on sober, and I broke out in a cold sweat because that shook me to my very soul. I thought, what? I ain't living for no devil. You see horns here? I ain't living for Satan. I'm not a Satan worshiper. I don't have Satan rules on my back window. He said, if you're not living for God, you're living for Satan. That hit home, man. At the age of 27, that rang my bell. I said, there's no way. This has to change. You see, I did not realize that Satan was my Lord and that one day I would end up going with him in the lake of fire for eternity. I did not understand that until it was told me. When it was told me, I made decisions in my life. I changed my life. And I said, man, I'm living for Jesus. There is no way. I'm not going to be on the end of a stick over a fire for eternity, man. Like a marshmallow, you know what I'm saying? I want to walk streets of gold. I want to be with Jesus. I want to be with all those who have believed by faith through the years, through the centuries past. Who knows what God has prepared for us, man. It's going to blow our... It's going to be better than anything we could even think of on this earth. That's the goal, the high prize in the calling in Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 20. It's the last book of your Bible. People don't like to get into Revelation. Blow the dust off and just do it. Revelation 20, look at verse 10. Notice what it says here. I mean, sometimes you'll read the Bible and then you'll read it again and things just stand up and it's like, man, I've read this before. How come it never hit me like this? Revelation 20, look at verse 10. It says, the devil who deceived them. Who are these? These are non-believers. These are people that rejected the life and the love of Jesus Christ and chose to do their own thing. These are people who may have had a walk with the Lord or tried to have a walk with the Lord but never did and chose to do their own thing and walked away from God. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, great people, kings, presidents, people that were well known in the world, standing before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades, right now in the center of the earth, delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to their works. You know what that's saying there? Everything they ever thought, everything they ever did, everything that ever came out of their mouth is written in the books. And they were judged for each one of those things from their whole life. Isn't that scary? It says, and death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Paul wrote in Corinthians and said that the God of this world, who's the God of this world right now? Satan. The God of this world has blinded their eyes that they can't see, unless they would see and come to the light of the gospel in Jesus Christ. People are blinded today. They're deceived by Satan. And you know what's so interesting to me, and something that has always intrigued me these 29 years of being a Christian? This white throne judgment, nobody that stands before Jesus as he's on the throne. He's on the throne judging. Why? Because he came and died for these people and they rejected him on this earth. So now he's judging them. And here he's judging them, and nobody at this judgment is going to heaven. They're all going to the lake of fire. And I thought, man, what is the book of life doing here then? If everybody in this judgment's going to hell, why is the book of life? The Christians aren't going to hell. My name's written in that book of life. I gave my life to Jesus. Your name is written in there if you gave your life to Jesus. Why is this book here? Well, I don't know. But I do have some food for thought. Reading God's word and studying it, knowing God and his grace, his love and his mercy, and how much he cares for us, I have an idea why this book is here. When that person stands before Jesus, before he is sent into the lake of fire, he's going to open that book up and he's going to say, right here is where I had a spot for your name. All you had to do was give your life to me and live for me, and you'd be going to heaven for eternity. I love you, and here it was. All you had to do was receive me and live for me. I believe that's why the book of life is going to be there, because he's a righteous judge. You see, I can see how Satan leads people to being disobedient, because once they start questioning God's word, they begin to deny God's word, and they fall into believing Satan's lies. Go for it. You see, it's when we begin to move toward believing Satan's promises, that's when we start disobeying God's commands and his word. We start believing it. I can do this. I'm good. I'm cool. Come on. When Jesus was tempted in Matthew 4, he answered every one of Satan's lies with what? God's truth. That's why, Christians, it is so important for us to daily be in God's. We need to brainwash ourselves in God's word. That's why I made a commitment to read this through once a year. The Rick that I know is capable of going out there and going for it. I got to be in God's word every day. I'll be in left field in a heartbeat if I'm not in the word, man. I got to. That's why I got involved in ministry, because now I'm accountable to people. Iron sharpens iron. So does a man sharpen the countenance of his friend. I need this because if I don't have this, I won't be here. I know Rick. Rick's stupid. Rick's an idiot. I know that. That's why I'm here. I force myself to be here, man. Satan said, if you're the Son of God, Jesus, command these stones to become bread. And what did Jesus say? Oh, shut up. Is that what he said? No. That's what we would probably say. He said, it's written. He came back with the word of God. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The word, man. He's standing on the word. That's what we need to be doing today. Satan came again, and he said, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. Notice this. How many of you know Satan knows the word too? But he only quotes half of it. He said, for it is written. It's written in the Bible, Jesus. He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus came back again. Hey, wait a minute, man. It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Satan came again. He says, all right, man. I can't get you spiritually. I can't get you physically. I'll tempt you. I'll tempt you with pride. Jesus, I'll tempt you with the things of the world. You'll give in because the things of the world look good, man. Satan said, took him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world. No doubt they were kingdoms where the lights were on at night and all the glory and the awesomeness of them. And Satan told Jesus, hey, you know what? All these things I will give you. Jesus, if you will just fall down and worship me. Jesus said, it is written, you shall not worship, or you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. He came back with the word of God. You see, when I get tempted, that's what I get flooded with. Because I'm in the word every day. It's a word that comes and keeps me from doing something stupid and disqualifying myself. Guys, I'm being for reals with you. I can disqualify myself in a heartbeat. I'm stupid. I can do that. I'm human. I got to stay in the word, man. I got to be wise to Satan's tactics. Here, Satan made the temptation sound really good by making an offer. Hey, Eve. Eve, listen to me, man. You will be like God. You'll be like God, Eve. And Eve just looked at that. You know the sad thing is? Eve should never have given Satan the time of day, man. She should have held on to God's word and resisted the devil. Man, it makes me wonder if Adam was doing his job with his wife, you know? Come on, Adam, where were you? Were you teaching your wife about God's truth and his word? Where was Adam? Eve took away from God's word by taking out the word freely in verse 2. She added to God's word by saying, touch it in verse 3. And then she just went and did it. She changed the word. God said, you shall surely die. Eve changed it to, lest you die in verse 3. Man, it got me thinking. Where was Adam when all this was going on? Was Adam standing near his bride, his wife? Or was he somewhere else? Or was he right there? What was going on? Look at verse 6 there in Genesis 3. We have the consequences of the lust of the flesh. It says good for food. The lust of the eyes, it was pleasant to the eyes. And then the pride of life, here it is, desirable to make one wise. Remember what John said in 1 John 2 verses 15 and 17? Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Man, it really makes you check out your priorities, doesn't it? Where's my priorities with God and with the things that God has entrusted to me? The mind blower is that Eve was deceived. And she gave in to the temptation. But Adam willingly sinned and threw the world as we know it today into judgment. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Jesus came and righted what was wronged. And now through him, we can have an abundance entrance into eternity. You know, you guys, stay in the Word. Stay in the Word, man, and keep your eyes on Jesus. It's the only way we're going to make it in the days we're living in. We don't know what tomorrow or next week or next year is going to hold. But as long as we got our eyes on Jesus, he'll help us to go through it. Amen. Next time in our study, we're going to finish chapter 3. We looked at the temptation here. Next, we're going to look at the condemnation and the salvation. For the first time in the scriptures, Genesis chapter 3, we're going to see that Adam recognized that God was going to bring about a salvation to what him and Eve had done by throwing the world into judgment. Let's pray.